Hey everybody, Jay here with a bit of a public service announcement. We wanted to let all of our loyal listeners know that the Agile Uprising is co-sponsoring the upcoming 12th annual Give Thanks for Scrum event produced by Agile Boston. This event is going to have the keynote speaker of Agile Zone, Jeff Sutherland, with a QA panel in the afternoon, and as well as a host of other speakers and presenters. This event runs at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Tuesday, November 24th, and of course, it is online. For more information, including tickets, please go to www.agileboston.org/give-thanks-for-scrum-2020. And again, we'll have a link to this in the show notes. Thanks again, all, and enjoy the show.
This is Troy McGinnis, and you're listening to the Agile Uprising Podcast.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Hursko. Joined with me is the soon-to-replace John Schneider as the irregular regular, Mike Cadell.
Howdy, y'all.
And right behind Mike, going to replace Mike, is Chris Wiestrom.
Hi, everyone.
And last but not least, Ben Au Young, who is coming up. Actually, his show count is pretty far up there as well, so hopefully these three people will replace me.
Hello.
And the topic of this episode, we're going to do another episode of Should I Take This? And tonight we're going to talk about X-Scale Business Agility with Peter Merrill. Peter is a bit of an interesting bird. I think we'll start with that. So before we go into the actual coursework itself, I want to talk about, and I'm going to start with you, Ben, how familiar were you with this X-Scale and then the idea of X-Scale Business Agility before you actually took the course?
Not very familiar at all. It's not something that you hear about very often or that I had come across, but I heard about it from this podcast, actually, during the Game of Framework series. I couldn't get enough of what Peter Merrill was saying, and so I looked into it, and, you know, I would watch the videos on YouTube a few times through. They're very dense, so I'd be lying if I said I really processed them all. But yeah, it's just sort of like casual consumption of that stuff, but nothing beyond that.
And I would dare say that the course itself is quite dense, truthfully. <Yeah. laughs> How about you,
Chris? In a positive way.
Yeah.
Similar, although I think I had come across Peter Merrill on LinkedIn or something. I heard about it somewhere. And he's got a lot of really interesting articles posted on LinkedIn. The website that he built has some really cool things. And I was just drawn to the idea of we can learn how to coach one another and coach organizations without having to be certified to do it. So I really liked that he was trying to escape that sort of industrialization of agility. So that's really what got me. And he does have a lot of information out there, like Ben said, on YouTube, on his website, and it is really dense information, and I just wanted more.
How about you, Mike?
Had a little bit of familiarity from the venues that Chris and Ben mentioned. Also, in the local Atlanta area, a while back, I participated in a meetup that ran a simulation of Game Without Thrones. And a buddy of mine is part of the X-Scale Alliance and is one of the stewards or shepherds or whatever flock herder it is that looks after the X-Scale body of material and stuff. So I had to, you know, some additional familiarity with it. And kind of like Chris, I was drawn to the kind of the energy of the fact that this is more organic, if you will. It's not, as many experience, a imposed way of working and thinking. It's rather, come if you want and don't if you don't. And that really appealed to me.
Cool. I think we all have had the same level of familiarity in the sense that we dug in a little bit to Peter's work, his YouTube stuff, his LinkedIn stuff, and which leads to the next question: Why did you end up taking this course? I mean, I got shamed into taking it for Ben. No, I kid. I like all of the stuff I've ever read that Peter has done, but he has so many zany ideas. And I mean, zany in a good way, that they're all over the place and I can't figure out how they all tied together. For me, the motivator was, okay, let's get in a room with this cat and let's figure out how all these different pieces, the game without thrones and the 3D Kanban and the ARG canvas, right? Like, how does all this stuff actually tie together? So that's what my motivator was. And plus, I mean, it was two nights a week for a couple of hours, even though we went long most nights and some of the homework, it was tough to get some of the homework in. But that's why I took it. How about you, Chris? I mean, Mike and I were in the same, Mike, Ben and I were all in the same class. Why did you end up taking it? Like, what was the final, okay, I got to do this.
So I took it because, I really like the idea of, again, coaches for coaches. It felt a little bit like a support group. And sometimes I think we need that as coaches. He's also a really interesting guy. And I also wanted a language. I work a lot with teams, just a little bit of background. I work a lot with teams and individuals. I don't work as much at the organizational level, but I would like to pull the leadership into some of the conversations that we're having. So I was seeking a language that I could speak to resonate with why agility matters for our overall business and not just the benefits at the team or the individual level. So I was seeking that, which is the main reason that I took the class.
Cool. And I think he does answer that, right? I think he does.
He does.
At length. Mike, why'd you end up taking the course, aside from the Ben peer pressure, which we've already established?
Yeah. I took it for two reasons. One, curiosity. Many of the ideas that I've been exposed to from Xscale and from Peter were intriguing, and I wanted to understand more. And like you said, Jay, how to knit them together into something resembling a cohesive thought process, which Peter does. Took a little while to get there, but it came together. And the other has to be very candid about it is, my perception, me as an individual, as a person working in the Agile community, we've talked about this, at times I feel like there's going to be impetus from our collective community and from the people that we serve to explore some different ways to get more value out of the organizations, which is a euphemistic way of saying, apologies to anybody that may take exception to this, but in some ways, you know, kind of safe has jumped the shark, and not safe's fault per se, but just the way it's evolved in the market, and something to augment and, you know, draw the good out of SAFE, but also add to some of the places that SAFE maybe doesn't fill in quite so good, which is more in the organizational aspects.
Okay, and Ben, aside from being able to shame Mike and I into taking it with you, what was your motivator? Because I know you and I talked a lot about this before we actually all pulled the trigger. I think it was in like 48 hours of each other, we all signed up.
Yeah. No, and that actually was a big factor, was the peer pressure, which I'm not even remotely sorry for. but before that, I just echo everything that you guys have said. You know, I'd probably phrase it from a slightly different angle. You know, you guys know I'm not the biggest fan of the whole coaching stratification deal that we seem to have going on from team coach to program coach. And you get up to the whole, everyone's got enterprise in their title. And I think it's only a matter of time before we reach conglomerate coach and solar system coach and all the rest of it. So in my mind, I have a little bit of a reaction when that whole, you know, chain of command is all about the whole shoo-ha-ree thing. Not that it's bad or evil necessarily, but it just, it, the whole thing's very kind of linear and conformist. And one of the things that really stood out to me in the pod that you guys did was when Merrill was talking about Muhin Shu over Shu Ha Ri. And that whole vibe, that whole ethos, that whole philosophy, I was like, yeah, we need more of this. We need to widen our own frame, so to speak, to view what we do more in this light. So in short, like little phrases like that just made me think, I really want to hang out with this guy. Like, I just want to, you know, hear him, listen to him, pick his brain. And if I can do it with my buddies, even better. So again, I'm not sorry about the peer pressure.
And yeah. Ben, make no mistake, you are a nonconformist.
Yeah, this is true.
I know.
So now I want to talk about the actual course itself, the materials, the experience. And Mike, I'm going to start with you. What did you think of the course overall? Like, what did you think of the course, the materials, the homework? What was your experience like now that we've had some time to take away and digest?
Yes. It started off, I felt a little bit untethered. The first session kind of, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, explaining how you gotta not really, you're either growing or you're dying as a business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole mindset that made perfect sense. But then I kind of lost the thread as, okay, so from there, the next thing, it didn't quite make sense at first as kind of, you know, took a leap of faith, kept with it. And then as the sessions went on, it kind of came together. So I didn't quite follow at first, but along the way, it all did come together. I think some of the, no surprise, we did it virtually. And I feel like I got a lot out of it. It made an impact on me. I've got some new vocabulary, some new tools. I feel like it could have been even better in person. That's not our reality at the moment, though. So, yeah, not whining, just saying.
Yeah, as with most training, it's always more, you always get more out of it when you're sitting there as opposed to staring at
this one where some of the activities that, to his credit, Peter put some substantial effort into communicating the essence of some of the activities in the games that teach the underlying concepts. You know, he put some significant effort into translating them from physical to virtual. But some of them are just so rich in, you know, physical that you can't help but lose something virtual.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the name of that candy that we used as an example? What was the name of that candy?
Minties.
Minties.
Minties everywhere.
Minties.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute. So Chris, let's talk about your experience. Because again, Mike and I and Ben were all in the same course, and I really think it was just the three of us. It was three of us, Peter, and then there was a couple of guys who would come in and out that were auditing. What was your class like? And then what did you think of the materials and all that sort of stuff?
So I think my class was a little bigger, but not hugely bigger. I think maybe we had six people. So it wasn't a lot. Like, this was 7 months ago, so it's a little bit fuzzy. Mm. A lot has happened in the last 7 months. Been a little distracting. But I think we had about six people. In terms of the course, I think Peter, I liked the activities a lot. I think he did engage us. We had breakout rooms. We had some really interesting discussions. And I think Peter uses stories and metaphors really long, really well. But I do think the stories get a little long. So we had taken it in the evening, and sometimes like just keeping up with all of that and keeping up with his stories got, I started to zone out a little bit, but his stories are relevant. And it's interesting how he ties his worldview into his concepts of agility. So I think that was really interesting. And I did walk away with a lot of tools and a lot of vocabulary that I didn't have before I went into the class. So I did learn a lot. I learned a lot about what I don't know. And I have a whole list of things that I still feel like I need to learn, because you just touch on topics. There's just not near enough time to get in as much depth on all of these topics as you would want.
And I think he's probably like one of those bottomless pits where the grab a topic, Chris, and the more you dig, the more you're going to find, and you're going to keep going and you're going to keep going. And next thing you know, you're in a tea house in China, right? Because he has an almost limitless ability to tell that sort of stuff. For me, one of the thing that I took away was the homework, right? You can judge a class on the homework. And if you think about the homework that we had, the first day was universal paperclips, right? Which I still open up in a browser and keep playing. I can't stop. So the guy in the class who said, oh, you should only play for like an hour, that's cruel. We had the homework was do the pirate canvas, right? We did our own pirate canvas to solve a problem. We had to play the trust game. We had to read the Great Law of Peace. There was the reading the Game Without Thrones blog post he had, watching Seven Samurai, right? Like when you talk about like all these kind of left field ideas that, like Mike said, at first you're like, I don't get how all this comes together. And then towards the end, you're like, oh shit, now I get how this all comes together. That was my biggest, that was the only feedback I offered Peter, was that next time when you have Seven Samurai as homework, make sure you do that in the longer, in the break between classes, the 4-day break, as opposed to the 48-hour break, because it's kind of hard to like dig in the next night and watch a 2.5-hour movie in black and white with subtitles. My wife was like, what are you doing? I'm doing my homework. You're watching a movie and it's black and white and there's subtitles. What do you mean you're doing your homework? What is this? Are you talking to your girlfriend? Your other girlfriend? I'm like, come on, it's homework. But for me, the other thing was I can judge by how many notes I take in the margin, right? Because I have one of those like notation books where I talk about, you know, I take my notes in the lines, but I write some stuff in the margin of rat holes I want to go down. And I mean, within the first 5 pages, I have something like 20 or 30 rat holes that I actually ended up going down most of them, right? I mean, what we got, BDD in action, the curse of dimensionality, Tragedy of the Commons, the Camelot model, Second System Syndrome, impact mapping by Gojo Adzik, which I actually thought that book was pretty good. Kano diagrams and Dunbar sequences, and we talked about Dr. Strangelove for a real long time. We started to go down the Kubrick rabbit hole at one point. It was pretty funny. Reductive flow diagrams and all that sort of stuff. So I took away so much. Like in looking back at it, I was like, shit, I got a lot more out of this than I really thought I was going to. And it really is, the way to describe it, Mike said, you know, it was kind of like, I couldn't figure out how it comes together. I describe it like taking a walk through a forest with like a philosopher, right? You're walking and there's things coming up and okay, that makes sense. And then you talk about B and you talk about C and it doesn't all sort of come together until the end where everything comes together at once. That's a lot like what the class was like, almost where it's like, it was exhausting afterwards. I'm like, okay, I got to turn my brain off and take a deep breath before I dive back into the material to get my head on. Like, what the fuck were we just talking about? What's a 3D Kanban? Man, I completely lost that. Ben, how about you? What are your thoughts on the course, the homework, all that sort of stuff?
I don't have a ton to add because you guys covered so much of it. And I would agree, you know, awesome, fun, creative. It left you a little bit cognitively tired at the end just because it was a lot to soak in. And another thing that I found it quite inspiring as well, because he was a great storyteller and he tied it to all these random things, but it also kind of helped kind of spark me to think, oh, how can I just tie all these random things that don't seem connected into the way that I help coach people and organizations. So I found that quite inspiring. Like, we don't have to stay quite on the same path that everyone else does. We can pull from history and from other random experiences. So I thought that was really cool. It was like hanging out with someone, just like you mentioned, like a bottomless pit. You could just keep going if you want. It seemed like a bottomless pit of wisdom and random tidbits of experience that you can draw from. So the idea that, you know, we can all actually contribute to that and think outside of the box a little bit in terms of helping people out was really cool.
I'm going to go back to you, Chris. Out of all the stuff we covered in the course, I think the course was what, like 4 weeks, twice a week for like anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 hours. What was the one thing that you came away with where you kind of were like, huh, Man, wow, that's a wild idea.
So the reframing techniques and the pirate canvas, I really, really liked. It was a new way of exploring the needs of our business in just a way that I've never done before. So I thought that was really cool. Throughput accounting also is really interesting, although I still can't wrap my brain around it. That's something I'm still trying to dig into. Oh, look, you have the book.
I read the book, and we'll talk about this in another episode. It was interesting. It was an interesting read.
Yeah, but again, he covers it at such a high level. Like, here's a really cool picture, and this is why you need to know about it. And then, like, you held up a textbook that looks super dense and really intense to read. So that, you know, that's how the information is presented. So you just walk away with so much you need to dig into, or so much you can dig into.
How about you, Ben? What was one or two things that you took away from the class? Like, wow, this is really mind blowing.
So definitely throughput accounting, which that was one of the videos I had watched many times trying to get it before the class started. And I still, you know, I'm not an accountant, but philosophically, it makes a lot of sense. And one of the things that I was trying to pick at a little bit was, well, there must be some sort of life cycle to all this. You know, at some point you kind of have things kind of retire gracefully, and you're not worried about growth all the time, constantly. He's like, oh, well, we'll talk about that when we talk about ecosystems thinking. And I don't know if he addressed that exact question directly, but we went down this random rabbit hole talking about industrial farming, which leads to these giant messy puddles of algae, which then ties into 3D printing. And then we're going to go and harvest minerals from asteroids in outer space. And it's just this idea that, like, it's never, there's always more you can go do. There's always more growth. And it's going to sound crazy tying that back to throughput accounting, but this idea of, you know, always pressing forward and always continuing to kind of go conquer new frontiers. So even though it has almost nothing to do with agility, you know, that whole conversation, that particular rabbit hole we went down, I find myself thinking about it all the time.
Yeah.
Makes you excited.
But we are. And I told Ben this once we pass our exam and we get Peter back in the saddle, we're going to have him on to do an episode on futurism and his five ideas of the future, because I really do think we could literally get him on for like a couple hours and just really go deep down that rabbit hole, right?
Well, you know, it's funny about that, because I was thinking, and this kind of ties back to some other conversations, but, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, like whether it's coaches or anybody else, do you want to hang out with the type of people who want to go out and conquer space, or the kind of people who don't and they just kind of want to hang around home or whatever? And Peter Merrill seems like the kind of guy who's ready to go out and conquer space.
And I feel like he would be the one to figure out how to do it. He knows so many random things. How does he know so much about such obscure topics?
I want to get to Mike, then I'm going to throw out some of the one-liners that he threw out, because I tried to write as fast as possible. You're all going to get a kick out of these. I mean, he really is a guy who, I don't think brilliant is a short sell. I do think he really is brilliant, because he has all this shit bouncing around in his head. Like, if there is ever a singularity where you can upload your consciousness into the internet, he's probably the person that would volunteer to go first, because I guarantee you he would blow out like giant data centers with all the stuff rattling around up there. Even just conversationally. So Mike, what was the thing that one or two of the things that you took away from the class? Like, wow, this was pretty bonkers.
Adding to the things that y'all have mentioned already. One thing that really resonated for me was the concept of triple loop learning. The idea we called RATs, or the riskiest assumptions. Immediately I started using that in the work I'm doing with my clients, and they looked at me a little funny, like, why are you talking about rats? as someone who despises the typical consulting engagement model that corporate America insists on, not knocking the consulting companies, they're doing what they have to try to make their way through the world, but the corporations that insist on engaging in that way, Peter's alternative is we'll engage in change increments. We'll do a, 12-week or whatever. And if at the end of that you don't see the results, you don't like what you see, or we goof up, you fire us and off we go. No harm, no foul. So it's kind of putting your money where your mouth is. Kind of the combination of the way that he tied things to the Iroquois tribe and how they govern themselves and leadership as a service, those two things together, that really resonated for me. So more than one or two.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to narrow it down, right? I have like 6 or 7 pages of notes. I ended up I'm counting now, it's 12, because I ended up with almost 2 notes per class because I tried to write as much as possible so I would remember. The things that resonated with me, the 3D Kanban, I had never seen that before, and how the furthest end of the Kanban loops back to the delivery piece, loops back to the ideation piece. I thought that was brilliant. I think you could teach that in any organization. They would just go, huh, now that makes sense how one feeds the other. I thought that was brilliant. And I really liked, even though I'd read it before, the whole Muhin Shu over Shu Ha Ri, and not stratification, but creating equality by forcing everyone to walk through the lower door in the tea house. I thought that was really, really amazing and a new way to think about how we teach other teams, how we treat the teams themselves. I could sit here and talk with this guy for hours. Some of his one-liners were brilliant. I mean, he opens a class talking about Larry Wall, and the three virtues of a programmer is laziness, hubris, and impatience, which I was like, okay, that's how we're going to start? Okay, then we're off to the races. Chris talked about how he doesn't outright sell X-Scale. It is what it is. And at one point, he had a quote where, we want to solve problems, not push a barrel or wave a flag, which I thought is very, very insightful to his thinking, right? Because a lot of the frameworks, they're trying to wave a flag. And he's like, no, just do it. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. He had another one-liner here. If you're not addressing something that sucks, your product will fail. I thought that was pretty true. prioritization decisions are fundamental to the fate of an organization. Stories don't generate throughput, features do. That was another good one-liner of his.
He had some one-liner about heroic quantities of coffee.
I think that was him. He also talked about when they were talking about throughput and theory of constraints. He had a one-liner here that said, you don't even understand the fuck up yet. It's deeper than you think. I think you understand the fuck up, it's always deeper, which I thought was actually quite funny. What was the other one? He had another one here that I thought was right in Ben's wheelhouse. Here we go. At the end of the day, we're either charlatans or we're not. And I thought that's a very Peter Merrill-esque statement, right? And he ties that to, all three of you talked about how his approach to agility isn't forcing it or even inviting somebody. His one-liner was muddy the divide between agile and the old way. And I thought that was a brilliant way to think about it, right? Just make it so synonymous that you don't even realize that you're changing until it's too late. He did reference magic agile pixie dust a couple of times to the point where I would send him some, but I'm pretty sure customs would have a field day with that. And towards the end of the class, when we were talking about, what was it? Business bingo. What was the last, one of the last classes we talked about? I think it was some sort of bingo. I have a quote here. If we don't estimate our features, then we'll get some idiot architect to do it, which I was like, okay, he's totally spot on there though. Yeah. Then my notes end with his 5 trends to watch in the future of humanity. But yeah, all in all, I mean, we talked about permaculture. We talked about ecosystems thinking. At one point, open space came up. The whole Great Law piece, right? I really think that was really super brilliant, very dense to read. But yeah, there's, I guess the long and short of it is for anybody, you'll find something. So Ben, I'm going to start with you. My next question. Who would you suggest take this course? If you could put out a 2-line statement that says, if you know how like albums say for fans of, and they list like 10 other bands. If you were going to say, X-Scale is for fans of what?
if you're looking for something more, take Xscale. Or if you have a pulse, just generally, if you want to feel alive, if you're getting caught up in you know, the corporate or the rat race or whatever, and just kind of churning out the same stuff over and over again, like teaching the same stuff over and over again, this just offers such a different perspective, so much wisdom. Yeah, it's a little, it's definitely a little out there, but I just think it's awesome. And yeah, rejuvenates you a bit. Even me.
Mike?
I'd say anyone who is involved in helping organizations evolve, change, transform, whatever verb you want to choose. But if you care about your people and you care about getting stuff done and making an impact on your business, take this course. If you don't care about an impact on your business, you don't care about your people, then don't bother.
Fair enough. How about you, Chris?
I think if you want to think big and think globally and get away from the grind of the certifications, take this course. If you want a course in mechanics, don't take this course.
Doesn't he mention that Absolutely. A whole bunch of times? Like, if you're looking for Praxis, I don't have it. Like, he said that a whole bunch of times. I would echo what everybody has said. I honestly think if you're a new Agile practitioner and you've done your CSM and maybe you've done a SAFe class and you realize that there's more out there, take this course. Conversely, if you have been around the block a bunch of times, if you're, you know, fully dipped in the scaled Agile framework and environment, or you've beaten yourself up with a framework and you're looking for something else, if you're just genuinely intellectually curious, he's one of those people that I could see like myself sitting down next to at a coffee shop, striking up a conversation, and 4 hours later going, oh shit, this isn't going to end, is it? I mean, if you're looking for ideas all over the place to really throw into a toolkit, that's what I would suggest. And now I we're quickly coming up on time. So I'm going to start with you, Ben. Final thoughts.
Yeah, this was awesome. This kind of wraps it, brings it back to the beginning question in terms of overall what we thought. And I think it was great. You know, the evening hours were a little bit tough, but I thought it was definitely worth it. It was also definitely worth it to do it with people who you know, so we can all kind of hang out and talk about it after and have that shared learning together. And the other thing that seems cool is like, it seems like a community that you can keep on keeping in touch with and keep on collaborating with. So I would absolutely recommend it. It also seems like a pretty good deal, relatively speaking.
Yeah, cost-wise, yeah, I would agree, yeah.
Yeah, so overall, I think, you know, especially if you're not super concerned about the cert part and more about genuine learning, then I think it's great.
How about you, Chris? Final thoughts?
So all four of us, it sounded like, started with either YouTube or the website or LinkedIn, some of Peter's articles already. Start there. If you haven't already explored that material, explore it. Get curious about it. And I think just from doing that, you'll learn a lot about the mentality of where Peter's coming from.
Perfect. And Mike, final thoughts?
Kind of building off what Chris said, there's in some parts of the country and some parts of the world, there are meetups and communities of people involved in Xscale. So you can get in touch with them. I think the Xscale website will point you towards them. This material, this whole body of thought and this approach is substantially different, but I think by design, it's not intended to be an either or with any of the existing mm-hmm. thoughts or methods. And Peter was very clear in saying, hey, you know what, if, you know, framework X, Scrum and Scale, Less, SAFe, whatever, is what is working in your environment now, cool. Look at Xscale and take some ideas and Xscale is by design can coexist with and enhance and really, as I think I said before, fill in some of the gaps. Because where Xscale really shines is in the human and sociological dimensions of transformation, which is not a strength of any of the other frameworks that I'm familiar with.
You're that's a good call, Mike, and good thing to end on. There very much is an emphasis on the human and people part of transformation and change, as opposed to the, like Peter said, the praxis, right? The pull the lever, you get the art, you staff the RTE, and off you go. So it's definitely a little bit more cognitively demanding, but I also think it's worthwhile, more worthwhile at the end of the day.
And there's also, don't get me wrong, it's not, you know, complete, you know, just human stuff. It's not touchy, feely, airy-fairy. There's bottom line business connections to everything that Peter has put in and the community of X-scale practitioners has brought together. This isn't just about feeling good. This is about getting bottom line results, and maybe in a little different way, but you know, sometimes a little revolution can be healthy.
Yeah. I mean, we got to be careful with saying those words nowadays, considering today's climate and that dumpster fire.
I was not, not talking about that.
All right. Well, I want to thank Ben. I want to thank Chris. I want to thank Mike for joining us. On behalf of Ben, Chris, Mike, and myself, I want to thank all of you listeners once again for tuning in. If you're looking to continue the conversation, please hop into our Discord channel. We have a very vibrant channel with a lot of conversations going on. I believe today there was debates around Jira adding decimals, story points. There was some other really funny stuff. Somebody was posting a picture of a steak, and there was a long debate about what chef's knives work best. But yeah, if you're looking for Agile conversation or otherwise, please hop into the Discord and check us out. You can find us all over the place at every podcasting place you can imagine. If you like what you heard, please leave us a review, rating, positive feedback. It does help other listeners find us. We also have a Patreon. We talk about it. I really forget to link to it every time, so it's my fault. We are completely free to all of our members and users, but if you feel like shipping in a couple bucks a month, hey, you may get a surprise in the mail. Who knows? And last but not least, I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Chris over at Machine Man Records and his artist Krebs, who have provided our outro music. Now maybe YouTube won't whack us with a copyright violation. We can actually maybe someday monetize our channel. So once again, thank you to Krebs and Chris over at Machine Man Records. Once again, I want to thank everybody, and this is the Agile Uprising Podcast signing out. Wash your hands, wear a mask.